Moncrief on News Talk.
A year ago, wildfires swept around Los Angeles, destroying 18,000 buildings, displacing 200,000 people, and over 30 died. While he was in LA for the Oscars, Henry McKean visited one of the worst afflicted areas, the Pacific Palisades, to discover what, if any, rebuilding work was taking place. Good afternoon, Henry.
Good afternoon, Sean. And yeah, that particular area, it's just past Santa Monica on the way to Malibu, and it's tucked up there in the hills.
How much of a distance are we talking about here? Because, you know, people would be familiar with these names, but is that an hour away, 2 hours away?
Nothing is far in LA except the traffic is so bad.
Yeah.
So it would be a bit like trying to get from Grafton Street. Grafton Street might be Hollywood. That might be the Dolby Theatre. And then you need to get to this particular area. It might be like going to perhaps Brayhead.
That's not that far then.
Maybe it's not that far. It's just the traffic is so bad to get anywhere. Everything seems further away than it actually is.
And they don't have a metro.
They do have public transport and they do have a metro, but everyone just drives.
Yeah.
And they've got M50s on every street corner. Just lots of M50s. Yeah. Motorways everywhere.
Yeah. LA is just a series of motorways meeting up with each other. There's no centre to it at all.
So you could be having fun in Greystones, and then you pop over to Mullingar, and then you end up in perhaps Balbriggan. You know, it'd be really quite spread out. You're right.
Yeah.
And like that, so we went up to that area, to the Pacific Palisades, and I asked my Uber driver, or I asked the app and then the physical driver, to bring me to a Domino's pizza. Not that I wanted a Domino's pizza, I didn't, but bring me up there because it seemed to be in the center of where the fires were. And when we got there and he's asking me to get out, I'm like, but it's burnt out. It was still on the Google app as being there, but it was burnt down. And that's the thing. The area lost something like 7,000 homes and structures, and over 100,000 people were displaced. And there's still anger towards the Californian government and emotion because, you know, a lot of them still don't have their homes rebuilt, and they feel that the whole thing was handled quite badly. So we drove around to try and find some signs of life. And everything was either burnt down or it was just removed. But there was lots of greenery. This is the thing about nature. It just comes back. But you could still see blackened bits of this and bits of that. I met this lady. But before that, I went for a walk.
So I'm here just on the mountainside, surrounded by these kind of condo apartments done in a kind of Spanish style. And then there's just this barren landscape with some foundations and mud and soil, and that's it. This was a home for many, and now there's just absolutely nothing there, completely destroyed. So there's a sign on this plot, and it just says US Army Corps of Engineers, California Wildfires Response Debris Removal Support, and it says Palisades Drive. I won't give away the exact address, and they've said debris removal complete, and they've taken away everything. And they've left a sign, and it just says County of Los Angeles, California. And that's it. That's the only thing that says there was once an apartment block at this spot. But nature is trying to come back. There's a tree that's still black, but beside that, there's lots of new greenery because there's been heavy rain in Los Angeles. Well, not this week, but recently. So nature always finds a way to come back.
My name's Lorena, and we unfortunately lost our home to the fire and all our belongings. And we are currently in the permit process trying to start our rebuild, and that's has a whole other...
So that must be quite stressful to try and get the money from the insurance company, get a builder, get it rebuilt.
Luckily, we have a great insurance company, so I can't say anything negative about them. They've been pretty good, I would say, compared to everyone else. But the whole emotional, it's draining, it's difficult.
So it's even hard to talk about it now?
It is. It's very hard.
Did you lose all your possessions? Did you manage to save anything?
I saved my dog and my laptop and 2 overnight bags of clothing for myself and my 2 daughters and my husband, and that's all I took with me.
So how quickly did you have to get out?
Honestly, I don't remember because I was panicking because I could see the black smoke.
You could see it coming.
I could see it coming, so...
And what was your home like? Describe it.
It was beautiful. It was my home. I have an amazing ocean view, ocean front, modern farm home that my husband and I remodeled. And that was our home, and we lost it to the fires.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
There you go. That was one person who lost their home, but is getting help from the insurance company. You know the way she said, the way she described it there, there was an ocean view.
Yes.
So is Pacific Palisades like quite a well-off
It's
area?
Kind of a bit like Killiney, you could say. You
oh,
know, and
right,
everyone's
okay.
living in houses a bit like smaller versions of Bono's house. I didn't mean to mention Bono's house. He deserves some privacy. But, yeah. You know, homes...
Well, I mean, obviously we all know he lives in a house.
He does.
And I don't think that's an invasion of his privacy.
With beautiful views and a lovely sea breeze.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
Okay, so it's a nice
right
part
there.
Of the world.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
It would be a very well-to-do.
So it's not like semi-Ds or there'd be big gaps between
well,
the houses.
There would be big gaps, and some of them would be ranches. And like that, a lot of the Americans still build their homes out of wood, and obviously wood burns.
Yeah, you'd think, yeah.
And they would be, you know, basic structures, but some of them would be quite big. But many, you know, average middle class people live up there too, in apartments and condos. And we got to meet Kathy, an older lady, and she's still suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder.
I lost everything.
I'm so sorry.
Everything.
Everything, everything.
Where I lived, my job. So since I lost my job, I lost my medical insurance. And even my doctor's office burned down. And then she moved away. I lost everything.
And what was your house like?
It was an apartment that was a historic building in the Palisades. And I lived there for 30 years. And I loved it.
So you lived here in the Palisades for 30 years?
More than 30 years, but I lived in that apartment that burned down for 30 years.
And it's gone forever?
Yeah.
A year on, over a year on, how are you coping? How is the community coping? I saw a sign saying Pali strong. Have people been strong?
Trying to be, yes. But it's hard. We're all walking around with PTSD.
So you still have memories?
Yes. But I'm fortunate enough to live right across the street from my beautiful church, the Lake Shrine. So I'm blessed with that, that they're helping me.
So you pray?
Oh, yes, and meditate.
And that helps?
Definitely.
You say you still have post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And behind us, you can still see charred palms and you can still see blackened trees.
If I think too much about it, I'm going to cry.
I'm sorry. It's hard.
Yes.
Did you feel supported by California, by Los Angeles, by the community?
The community.
Yes.
The community.
But not the government.
I'm not sure. No, I don't. Yeah. I think there was a lot lacking.
Did you lose photographs, everything?
Everything. What do you say? Everything. Everything. Everything that my children made, grandchildren made. You know, spiritual things.
And Kathy, where do you live now?
Here.
So you found somewhere else to live. Is it full-time, temporary?
As long as my money lasts, because now I don't have much money.
So you just...
It's up to God. He'll take care of me. I have to have the faith and trust.
Well, Kathy, I hope your situation improves.
Thank you.
That was Kathy there. It sounds like she lost a lot more than just her home. Did you see, are there houses being actively rebuilt there
mm-hmm.
now?
Absolutely, there are. I mean, when we drove around, we could see builders trying to build houses from scratch to starting again. The whole thing was destroyed. And as we said, the army came along and helped remove a lot of the structures, the burnt out structures. And you could say... there's a number of reasons why the fire brigade struggled. And one of the main reasons was they were renovating the local reservoir that had absolutely no water in it.
Oh.
So the fire brigade tried to bulldoze cars out the way because everyone tried to escape. But then there was massive traffic jams. And then people abandoned their cars because the fire was coming. And then the fires were so bad that the EVs, you know, obviously the batteries and the toxic fumes. Anyway, real horrific stuff. And when they got up to the reservoir, they discovered that there was no water in it. So it was a complete waste of time. So lots of anger towards the Californian government. Here is a local man, Michael Cullen. He's 78. He did see a very bad fire back in 1993, but nothing quite like this. And he paints a picture of what happened. And there are kids playing in the playground. They also witnessed the fire and got caught up in it.
We're in a valley, and there was a fire that came all the way down through the valley. The church over there got burned. All the houses, all that hillside was burning when I left at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So this whole area was burning, and now we can hear the children playing behind us. And also, because you've had lots of rain, a lot of grass and undergrowth has grown back, but you can still see blackened palm trees behind us there.
Oh, yeah. And you can see the top edges of all the pine trees along the highway here, along the going up the hill, were all burned. All of them were burning across the top. What saved this building right here is, you see that wall behind you?
The wall, yes.
The wall kept the fire from coming down and burning down the shopping center.
So this concrete wall saved the shopping center?
Right.
So
right.
Concrete saved it. And just driving around here, around the corner, whole area just gone, all these homes destroyed, some being rebuilt, some not.
I think around 800 homes were burned down, and they're being slowly rebuilt. They don't expect it to be totally rebuilt for another 5 or 6 years.
Why did this one catch everyone off guard?
Two things. The fire people weren't prepared. There was a huge tank supposedly up the hill, was totally empty because they were repairing it. And basically there was just panic that set in. And what happened, the reason why my place across the street here was saved, is because the fire trucks couldn't get up the hill. And so they put their hoses on the ones that were down here and saved the area over here and saved here.
So they gave the resources to your neighborhood just by chance?
By chance.
This road here was full of cars.
Right.
How did the fire brigade get up the hill?
Well, they basically took a bulldozer and moved all the cars to the left and to the right, moving them off the two lanes on either side, and then cleared a path for the fire trucks to get up the hill. They got up there, and then there was no water.
That was Michael Cullen there. Good Irish name, it should be said. Now, we did hear kids playing in the background there. Is there a school up there? Were kids at school when this all happened?
You're right. I mean, also, just to say quickly, there's the Getty Center that survived all that art, but they used a lot of concrete. They had people in place to make sure it didn't go on fire. But schools were at risk, and there was a school. Here is Amanda talking about her kids trying to be evacuated.
Our kids... evacuation order came about an hour after the fire. We weren't able to get our kids in time. The traffic in town was so gridlocked, and the one route that we were able to come from where we live to the kids' school was blocked, and so we had to have a friend come pick our kids up from school. As they were being picked up from school, they could see smoke and flames coming down the hillside, coming toward their school. Kids were screaming, crying. Kids were horrified that they were going to die. There was a teacher who works at the school who could see her house burning down from the school as she was trying to corral these horrified kids. And the evacuation happened so quickly that the kids couldn't even grab their lunch boxes. They couldn't grab their sweatshirts. They couldn't grab their water bottles. They were quickly rushed out of the school. If their parents were able to come pick them up, their parents were able to pick them up in time. If not, they got put on a bus and sent to a different school. And I can't even imagine what it would have been like trying to chase down that bus and all the traffic. There were some people who were chasing down that bus while their houses were burning down. There were people who ran for their lives that day. Lots of people who ran for their lives. As the streets were blocked and the flames were coming over the roads, cars were exploding. And there were, elderly people, nannies with babies, people trying to carry all their possessions, people who had packed all of their valuables in their cars, and then their cars caught on fire as they were trying to evacuate. It's just devastating. We feel very, very let down by our local government, the reservoir being empty, The fact that the fire was burning here for 2 days and there wasn't any outside water brought in. In town, you can see Caruso's village still standing because he brought in private fire trucks. After the fire had been burning for, 24 hours, why weren't additional trucks full of water brought in to fight this fire? They just keep telling us there wasn't any water. But in an instance there, you can see somebody brought water.
One texter says, we give out about Ireland, but at least we would get medical care. Unlike that poor woman who lost her job and her medical insurance. Though John says, LA Metro is extremely dodgy and unsafe. You need to be highly alert and preferably have special forces level hand-to-hand combat and de-arming capabilities. Well, don't worry, John. Henry McKean has extensively trained with the Rangers in this country and special forces around the world, so he was perfectly safe. The people there, though, it's hard to get over when you've lost everything.
Yeah, and even when we hear about private fire trucks, that's a real example of America. If you have money, you can get yourself a fire truck full of water. And if you don't, you just got to rely on the authorities. And that is something that's truly American, if I can say that. We did get to meet Adam. He lost all his possessions because they got contaminated because of car batteries and basically toxic fumes en masse, causing him to throw away everything.
My name's Adam, Palisades resident for my entire life, so 43 years. The day of the fire was, extremely difficult. My kids were at school, and my wife and I, we worked from home, so we were at home. And, worrying about how we were going to get our kids or get to our kids. We actually had a friend who evacuated with our kids. We went and got their dog, and then we ended up meeting that evening.
It must have been very stressful.
Yeah, no, it was a lot. We moved, 8 times in the first 6 weeks after the event, and then finally settled into a temporary home until our home didn't burn down. We did lose all of our possessions due to the contamination. It was just the chemicals that were in the smoke. Because it wasn't just natural wildfire, right? There was a lot of like car batteries. So if you think about like electric car batteries, as well as any older homes, the building materials, right? Asbestos and things like that. And so
and that was inside perhaps your sofa, your couch, inside the fabric of your curtains.
Oh, everything. So yeah, so all of our possessions needed to get thrown away.
Like, everything, duvets, the lot.
Refrigerator, TVs, speaker, yeah, washing machine, kids' toys, mattresses, everything. Because the smoke just permeated everywhere. And even though we had all of our windows closed, still stuff comes through like, HVAC vents and things like that.
And did insurance cover it or were you short?
Like most people, the story, we were, our insurance covered what we were insured for, but we were well underinsured for the damage that we sustained. And then unfortunately, government services weren't much help. Community really helped out a lot. Actually, we got a lot of donations from various religious organizations, even that we weren't affiliated with, and that was really remarkable to experience.
So you did get help from strangers, kindness of strangers, and charities and religions.
Absolutely. If there's anything that kind of builds, faith in humanity from a community perspective, it was definitely what we had gone through. I mean, government failed us, absolutely, but, community pulled together as much as it possibly could. So
there is some faith in humanity.
There's definitely some faith in humanity. Absolutely.
And the kids, how are they? They are obviously very young. We can hear them behind us. How do they cope?
Mixed bag. Sometimes better than others. At this point, now we're a little bit over a year later, so things have, settled down quite a bit for them, even though their community and their school, even our home, is definitely not what it was. We still don't have appropriate furniture in our home. We still have some of the donated stuff we got or things we got that were just meant to tie us over. So we're still trying to put the pieces back. But at this point, they've adapted really well.
There you go. That was Adam, the final person that Henry McKean interviewed there in Pacific Palisades. Henry, thanks a million as ever.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.